Hi, I'm Christy Hurt, the founder of The Collab. We are a collective of brand professionals sharing our career stories. Every week, we pair up two members and they interview each other, so you'll get to hear one episode this week and one next week. You can join us too. Sign up at jointhecollab.com and then tell your story.
Hello, everybody. My name is Caitlin Delaney, and I am here with my fantastic sister-in-law. Her name is Lydia Finette. I think a lot of you guys have probably heard of her. She's actually been a welcome star on The Collab a number of times, and I have the pleasure of doing an interview session with her today for The Collab Career Stories. So welcome, Lydia. So ecstatic to have you here and to have this session with you.
Thank you so much, Caitlin. I feel the same way. I'm delighted to be here and excited for all the questions, although I'm a little nervous as well because God only knows what you're going to ask me, but here we go.
I promise. Well, before I get into all the questions for you, just a little bio, everybody, on Lydia, in case you haven't had a chance to look her up yet or you haven't had a chance to listen to her own podcast as well. But she is the CEO and founder of the Lydia Finette Agency, a boutique agency representing the best-in-class charity auctioneers. Lydia has been in the auction field for over two decades, serving as the global managing director of strategic partnerships at Christie's and reshaping the fundraising landscape as the world's leading charity auctioneer. She has handily raised over $1 billion for more than 800 organizations. I'm going to say that again, $1 billion for over 800 organizations. I can't do very quick math, so everybody else can just let me know how much that is per organization, but I'm going to break it down as a lot of money and really just great work for countless charities and benefits and, you know, organizations that, you know, that need the help, and you do it and you deliver it. So it's just so exciting to have you here. Before I turn it over to you with questions, I do want to say that she has stood alongside celebrities such as Bruce Springsteen, a favorite, Hugh Jackman, Elton John, Matt Damon, and Jerry Seinfeld, and Paul Rudd. You know, my friend Tracy loves Paul Rudd and is so jealous of Lydia whenever she's next to him. So, and besides the $1 billion and the numerous celebrities, she's also written two best-selling books. The most powerful woman in the room is you.
In the room is you.
And the podcast, Claim Your Confidence. So welcome, Lydia. I hope I didn't stumble too much through that opening, but I think I am just humbled to have you and talk to you because I read your bio and I'm like, I can't believe I know her.
I'm like, I want to meet this Lydia. She sounds great. No, thank you so much for having me on the show.
She's like awesome. But Lydia, why don't you do us to start off? Like maybe just take us, you know, back in terms of like how you grew up. I know a lot about you, where you're from, but just for our audience, maybe, you know, kind of go through your background and how you came to be in New York City.
Of course. Well, I grew up in Louisiana, which is such a great way to grow up as a child. I mean, it's warm, you know, pretty much the entire year. So you spend a lot of time outside just running around with your siblings and friends. And I actually just came back from Louisiana with my kids and they were like, oh, it's just so amazing because it's, you know, not that cold and we can just ride our bikes everywhere because we're raising them in New York City. So I feel like it's always a novelty to go back to Louisiana. But I basically moved to New York when I was 21 years old, right out of college. I had come up here with my parents when I was 10 years old. And my mom says that she remembers me turning around in the middle of the street and saying to her, I'm going to live here one day. And she said, you know, anything you said with such an incredible amount of confidence, I knew would eventually come true. And so I had no doubt that that would be where you ended up. So I had gone to a college called Suwanee, the University of the South down in Tennessee, and they had a program where you could get an internship, a paid internship, anywhere you wanted. You had just had to apply for this scholarship. And so I applied for the scholarship and got it, which meant that I could kind of pick an internship where I didn't get paid. And I found one at this place called Christie's Auction House in New York City. And the side story to this, which I always think is so interesting, is that I read an article in Vanity Fair magazine when I was in college about this place called Christie's Auction House in New York. My parents were not art collectors. You know, as I said, I grew up in a small town in Louisiana. There were not art collectors that I knew. It was not an art collecting community. And so there was just something about this article written about the sale of Princess Diana's dresses at Christie's Auction House on Park Avenue in New York City that really captured my imagination. And similar to what I said about living in New York, I was like, I've got to work there. And I truly believe in life that if we put out our dreams and we talk constantly about what we want, it comes back to us in some form. You don't know how or where or why, and you have to trust timing as part of that. But I ended up years later at a cocktail party in Louisiana with a woman who had just somehow gotten a job as an assistant at Christie's Auction House. I didn't know her. My dad met her father and introduced me to her. I mean, it was probably my dad was probably the only person I'd really told that I wanted to work at Christie's because my dad's a dreamer. And I met her and I got the internship coordinator's information and I called that internship coordinator every day for 2 weeks. And eventually she, after having told me that the internship program was full, finally, like, after 5 calls, put me on the wait list. And after 5 more calls, was like, you know what, just start working here. I can't take this anymore. And there's a backstory that I tell in my first book about that, about, you know, the different ways that you can angle a question, really. But I found the right angle and I got the internship and that was it for me. I mean, I really absolutely loved working for Christie's. I had worked there 4 years in the events department doing, I mean, you name it, I did it. I shredded paper, I wiped down tables, I emptied trashes. Like, I did not care what I was doing. I was so excited to be there. I think I got 2 weeks of vacation. I think I got paid like $12 a year. I mean, it was a ridiculous job. I was living in like a 6th floor walk up with a friend just because we had no money and we ate hors d'oeuvre for dinner every night. But I didn't care. I just loved it. And that was kind of how it all started. That sort of got me to 24. I tried out to be an auctioneer after 4 years there and became at that time by far the youngest, but one of the only female charity auctioneers at Christie's, and developed that over a 2-decade career, which is when you read a bio, now we're like, oh my God, $1 billion. I'm like, I've been doing it 70 to 80 nights a year for 20 years. Like, little things add up over time, right? So that's kind of how it all started. And it really was such a magical point. I loved my job at Christie's. I loved it for many, many years and then many, many more.
Oh, that's fantastic. I know I saw you kind of, you know, moving through it, and you had such passion about your role and your job and what you brought, you know, not only to the organization, but the people you worked with and your team. It was really inspiring. I would love to go back to, like, you know, before we go to the next question, just like a little bit more on like that, you know, the dreamer in you. And really, like, how you've kind of been able to kind of keep that piece alive, you know, through, you know, the process of growing your career. Because we know, as, like, you know, kind of working in the corporate environment, those are things that kind of, like, I mean, I hate to say this, and like, get smashed out of you.
I think that's well said, actually. They do get smashed out of you, don't they?
You know, like, you have like such, we're all so bright-eyed and like just excited in the beginning. And you kind of like, you get a little like, you know, kind of mixed. How do you keep on dreaming? And I think that's that's what I find as something that I sometimes struggle with and want to always, I'm always trying to keep it up, you know, from a positivity standpoint, but you have that. And, you know, what do you do to keep it? You know, what do you do every day?
Well, I do think you said it well. I do think things get smashed out of you, especially in a corporation. I worked for Christie's for over 2 decades, and I can't say that every single day of my career, especially the end of it, was bright-eyed and bushy-tailed by any stretch of the imagination. But what I also realized as I was moving through an over 2-decade career was that I had to stop leaving things to chance. I had to stop leaving things to other people to decide about my career. And I had to stop believing that at some point my career at my company wouldn't end, whether I ended it or ultimately they ended it. At the end of the day, the job ends. And so in 2018, I'd had an idea for a book for a really long time. I'd been telling people I was going to write a book for about a decade before I actually wrote anything, to tell you the truth. People are like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm working on a book. Like, have you written a lot? I'm like, I have not. I've actually written nothing, but I have big dreams, you know? And I think that I always wanted to write a book. And so when I finally sat down and started writing this book that I'd always dreamed of writing, it really came as a result of all of these years of being in a company, of looking around, of looking at young women who were starting off at Christie's or wherever they were starting off, and hearing the same thing over and over again, which was something that I'd often felt, which was like, I could never sell anything. Like, I hate when people like deny me of things or say that I shouldn't do something or turn me down because it feels like a rejection of me. Like it's always about like me not being good enough or me not being smart enough or all of these things. And what I started to realize after many, many years on stage was that actually rejection has very little to do with you. It's really often about what you have that you're selling that the person doesn't want. And for some reason, as women, and I don't think that this is only about women, but I do think that we fall into this trap a lot more, that we don't feel comfortable selling things. We don't feel comfortable selling the vision of us. We don't feel comfortable selling the product that we're selling because we hate hearing the word no. And over time, it dampens everything that we do. It dampens our ability to put ourselves forward for jobs. It dampens our ability to sell products better than somebody else. Like all of those things just kind of, as you said earlier, get smashed out of us over time. And so as I was getting into my 30s, I was noticing this trend. Like every time I got off stage, there was always a woman waiting to tell me how she could never sell anything. She was like, I just saw you do that. And like, I could never do that. I could never stand on stage. And I would think to myself, like, you know, I grew up in Louisiana. My mom's British. These are not places where women are taught to go after things and ask for things. Like I had learned it on stage. And I truly believe if you can learn something, you can teach it. And that really for me became the idea for a book. And I wrote that book. I mean, look, you know me well, you know how many things I'll do in a day. I had a full-time job. I was still doing the charity auctions after at night. And I had, you know, at that point, my third baby, like still nursing her, like early in the morning and early and late at night. And that book for me was that dream, like coming up with that dream again. Like, what am I doing? I can't just do this job day after day. Like, what else is there? And that book for me became this like second part of my career and this second role that I created for myself. Ultimately, writing that book for me was my effort to keep this dream alive and to feel as passionate about something as I'd felt about my job for a long time. Ultimately, I ended up writing a second book, I think, because I was still looking for that, which should have been a better indicator to me of the fact that I had kind of come to a place in my job where I was done. But I think the other side of having been at a company for so long is that I loved it so much that I didn't really want to let go. And so I think that that's also part of realizing where you are over the course of your career. And a great learning lesson for me that I will never forget was sometimes it's okay, even if you're at the height of something, to walk away. Because sometimes that's better in many ways than waiting until the end to go. And you know, I think that I will always look back on my time at Christie's fondly. And ultimately, I think that the chapter that has come after Christie's has only been better because of my time there, because it's been so rich and so full and has felt like that dream that we were talking about before, where all the ideas and all the creativity can come to the forefront. And now it's all for my company, which is really exciting.
Well, I feel like almost in some ways is that like Christie's was like a precursor to what you're, to where you are now. Like this is your dream. And I see that every single day that I interact with you, that I talk to you, that we kind of discuss future plans. Like, you know, this is it. And it's kind of like, this all kind of led to this place. And then, you know, and I think, you know, you talk a lot about, you know, dreams. You talk about, you're very realist also, like in terms of like, hey, this takes a lot of work, you know, too. And it's, you know, you said like you nursing your third child, like before and after like work, like everything kind of leads up, but there's always so many different steps getting to that point that I think, you know, you're almost like in your, like this like golden time, you know, for your career in terms of like what you're doing, and you're really doing it, you know, from the heart. And you know, I think that's probably the biggest thing, because people see how much you love what you're doing, and that's what resonates with them, and that's what draws them to you, you know, as an author, as a podcaster, as a friend, as a mentor, you know, as well. So that's something I think that really sets you apart, you know, in the field that you're in. And that's something that I've always, you know, kind of noticed and respected about you, and that draws me to you, aside from the fact that you're a family as well. I would say that probably draws you more to, I'm drawn to you more because of that than the family part. So, but one thing that you did kind of step on or mention was really talking about rejection. You know, we've talked a lot about imposter syndrome for women and that piece. And I did see a really wonderful Instagram posts from you, you know, really in the beginning of the new year, like having these different goals and how you're going to activate in 2024. And, you know, something that I actually wrote down for myself was really about the year of failure, you know, like, and what you had, you've mentioned already about is our fear of failure, you know, and I think you've learned at an early stage, like getting up on stage and talking, like you don't have a lot of room for failure. Like you're either like you're up there or you're like you're not. You know, can you talk a little bit how you plan to activate that in 24? And, you know, can I get on this band? I'm already on the bandwagon. Like I'm there.
Yeah, jump on.
Like I'm all for failure. I'm like fail fast, fail quick, but you know, fail often. And that's my motto for this year. But how do you kind of, you know, plan to activate that and, you know, kind of draw people in?
Well, I think that what I've realized, especially in this journey that I've been on since I started the company last year, is that it's not even really about failure at the end of the day. I mean, what we're doing is trying things out. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. That's failure. But what often, similarly to even speaking out or trying to sell something, that we worry about rejection. We worry about other people's perception of what we're doing. And what I said at the beginning of this year in this Instagram post is like, this is the year I want to find fun in failure. Like I want to try it all, you know, and I actually have started writing my third book and I was laughing with my sister over New Year's because we were jogging and I was telling her, you know, I have, as we've talked about before, I am a total dreamer and I have a dream a day. And I was telling her about this gavel necklace launch that I did earlier this fall. So I am a huge jewelry wearer. If you know me, I always have big earrings. I have rings. I have like, I just love jewelry. I'm like 6 feet tall and I feel like I'm a Christmas tree. I'm always like lit up with 50 different things, especially like huge earrings. And one of my really good friends is a jewelry designer whose stuff I wear all the time because I love it. Her name is Mignon Gavigan and I'm obsessed with everything she does. So I called her when I was launching my company and I was like, you know, the first chapter of my book is the strike method. And that's all about this gavel that I've always had. And I slam it down when I go on stage and it really helps me get everything together and get ready to go. And I think we all need our own strike method. And ever since the book came out 5 years ago, I get DMs from people like, this is my strike method, or I wish I had a strike method. So I was like, I woke up one night, I'm like, genius idea. I am going to make a line of gavel necklaces. And that way, if people don't have their own strike method, they can have one in a necklace. So I call my friend Maggie. She's like, this is a great idea. She basically is like, we're going to do 100 of them. We'll send them over to you. And I literally said to my husband, your brother, the night before, I was like, you know, I'm really concerned that when these sell out, I don't have a trigger to get additional email addresses in case people want them. And, you know, your brother, God bless him, always is like just nodding like, okay, I don't even know what you're talking about, but like, sure, let's go. And so I launch it the next day on Instagram with like all the fanfare of a launch. And, you know, I'm expecting the internet to crash. I am like waiting for the orders. And like, I think over the course of the day, I got like within a few minutes, I had two. I knew both of the people. And then maybe on day one, I had like 20. I think I've sold now like in the mid 30s and I have 100. I had 100 in total. So I have about 65 gavel necklaces just sitting in my bedroom. And I said to my sister, like, I was laughing so hard. She's like, well, maybe the gavel becomes like the fun and failure. Like sometimes it just doesn't work out and that's okay too. And so I tell that story because I think we have to be unafraid of telling those things that everybody perceives to be like, this is amazing. You're incredible. Meanwhile, I'm like, this is a wonderful necklace. I have 65 of them in my bedroom if anybody needs one. And I truly think that that's what this year is going to be about for me. I'm just going to try it all. And if it works, great. And if not, like, let's make a joke out of it and move on and let everything that doesn't work just go past us and stay with the things that we're passionate about and make us really happy. And that's kind of where I am. That's what I am seeing for 2024. So jump on the bandwagon. There's plenty of room.
I'm there. I've got to tell you, like that kind of really stuck with me when I read it. And I was like, this is it. Like, this is it for me for 24. I'm like psyched. I'm like, here I come.
Yeah. Let's fail a bunch and then succeed as well. Those things are in equal measure oftentimes.
They are. So I know you've kind of alluded to the fact you're writing a third book. Can you give us a little preview of what, you know, some of the concepts or, you know, that'll be included in there, or maybe one, without giving too much of the book away?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one thing I've always loved to do with friends is find more than one thing that they can create out of a side hustle or an opportunity or even just a skill. You know, I feel like I have so many amazing friends. Some are single, some are people with many children who've stepped away from a career or taken a sideline break and they want to do something, but they feel stuck. Like they can't come up with that idea. And so the book is really a deep dive into kind of what I've done in my own career, you know, starting off with the auctioneering and then creating 9 different businesses out of that single skill, whether it be the books or the podcast or the speaking or the retreat. Like there's so many different components to it. And I think it takes a particular vision to do that, but there are also steps to do that. So that's what my next book is about. As you know, I write real time. So I'm writing as we speak every day. And then I basically just, when I tell Simon & Schuster that I'm going to sell the book, I then have to write the rest of it really quickly. So I'm going to wait until I'm really ready this time instead of having to do it in 3 months like I did my first book. So, but it's exciting. It's fun to talk out loud and say that I'm going to do it because it means I know I'll do it.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, you have so much, you know, that you have activated that you're so talented at, you know, it's just exciting as you see, as you just mentioned, like you're a podcast, you're a writer, you do all these wonderful auctions and you're doing this wonderful retreat in the Hamptons in a couple weeks. So how does that feel like kind of prepping for that and, you know, having people kind of join you for this journey for like, you know, a good 3-day retreat.
I'm so excited. It's like honestly my favorite thing to do. I mean, you've known me for a long time and there's almost nothing I love more than just sitting down with people and like getting in there and figuring out what it is that they're looking to achieve and then trying to help them figure out what those goals look like. You know, the reality for all of us is nobody can do it for us. We all kind of want to be able to hand it off, you know. It's like everything in life. You're like, "Ooh, this feels uncomfortable and I don't want to have to learn to do it." And then you learn to do it and it's probably not as hard as you first thought, right? I think that that's exactly what I want to do with this retreat. I mean, I have 4 days, 3 nights, and I've written out 11 different sessions, 11 different workshops on all sorts of different things. And you know what I want to say when I'm doing this with this spa, it's called the Shusugiban House out in the Hamptons. And I want them to take care of people from the outside, and I'm going to take care of them from the inside. And I know that they'll leave 4 days later feeling like they know what's coming next in their life. And no matter what it is, they're ready for it and they're excited about it. And that's really what I want to do. So I'm really excited. I'm excited to just try it out, try something new.
Oh, it's fantastic. Well, I have to say, you know, as we're closing that, Lydia, you bring such excitement and animation and positivity to like everything that you do. And that's like one of my biggest takeaways from the time I spend with you is really like your energy and really your outlook. And I think, you know, everything you've touched, you know, always has that imprint on it. I know this retreat will be the next step, but I really want to thank you also for all your help you've given me through the years and all the help I'm, you know, that I'm sure everybody else would come to you and say thank you for, because I think there's a lot that you have, you know, been able to activate and been able to have this really, you know, great outreach and impact so many people. And I think that's like probably one of the most special things out there and about you.
Thank you, Caitlin. I will say that, and I said this at the end of my second book, but it was so funny. I was writing my second book when we were on a vacation 2 years ago that we were both on for Christmas with Caitlin's parents. And I would get up super early to write. And then I would wait for Caitlin to wake up so I could like spitball after. I was like, "What do you think about this? What would you want from this?" She's like, "I'd want more detail on how to do it." I'm like, "Okay, I'll be back." And then I would go write and then I would read it out loud. So I definitely feel like you've always been a part of the journey. And I really thank you always for your support, Caitlin.
Oh, well, I love you. Virtual hug. But, you know, I have to say, I do want to give a plug. Like if you know, any of the podcasters in the CoLab network hasn't listened to Lydia's, you know, podcast, like, you know, definitely I recommend, you know, downloading it, you know, and listening to her and all the different speakers that you have, because each of them brings such a different, you know, insight, a special, like, you know, knowledge. And how you interact with them is really wonderful. And, you know, like how you guys share information and, you know, what comes out of it is really special. And I think inspiring.
Well, I love it. I absolutely love it. I love podcasts. And I thank Christy for putting us together on this incredible podcast. And I've seen this since the beginning. So it's really cool. Thank you, Christy.
I know. Thank you, Christy.
Thanks so much for being here for the CoLab Career Stories podcast. Please follow us on social media at Join the CoLab and sign up to become a member and share your story at jointhecolab.com.